All right, everybody. Welcome to another Bit Vault podcast. Today, I have a very special guest. This guy is a Bitcoin YouTube legend, something that I aspire to be one day. So, man, it's super awesome to have you on the pod. Welcome, BTC Sessions.
Thanks, man. I'm stoked to be here. I'm, you know, you're excited to have me on. I'm just excited to talk to anybody about Bitcoin.
Yeah, man. So it's cool because podcasts is like the perfect excuse for that, you know? It's like, yeah, do you want to talk about Bitcoin for an hour? Sure. But yeah, man, listen, you said something to me the other day. I think it was when you invited me on your show, and it was essentially like that you have to sell some Bitcoin every month because you have been living on Bitcoin. And I thought that was so interesting for two reasons. First reason, I've been there before. Not so much because mining's doing very well. But, you know, in 2018, 2019, I remember, because I've been all in since 16, but I remember that I would kind of use it as a checking account. You know, I would sell some, I'd put it on the Cash App, and I was like, look, whenever I need to pay for something, I'll have the Bitcoin on there. If I just need to pay for like something quick or a coffee, you know, that example, I could just sell some at like in the moment, and then I would just cover my expenses. Does that sound familiar at all?
It does. Although my thinking around it has shifted a little bit. You know, I was the same kind of thing. Like bear markets, you know, they're a bear, right? It can be something else coming from the extremes of a bull market to the extremes of a bear market. And it's interesting because not a lot of people get to experience, you know, not a lot of people have experienced that more than once, or, you know, and many people coming in the next bear market, I still feel like we've got a cycle or two left in us here, but, you know, they'll be experiencing it for the first time. And yeah, so without prior knowledge, you tend to, you know, you stack a bunch of sats. And then, you know, you're excited about having more money than you're used to when the bull hits and then the bear hits and you're like, oh man, I didn't plan ahead for when it wasn't, when number wasn't constantly going up. And then you start, you know, dipping into your stash for the occasional thing here because you were maybe spending a little bit more than you should have. It's a process. It's a process of, I guess, thinking a bit longer term and trying not to get ahead of yourself, because yeah, like you're living on Bitcoin, there's a lot to consider. I'm living on Bitcoin, everything's fine. You know, you got to consider, you've got tax implications, you've got, you got to be conscious of how you're doing it. And you got to be conscious of, not only that, like I work in Bitcoin and as do you, and you know what it's like, when everything's good and all there's, you've got a higher monthly income than you're used to. And then all of a sudden everything is temporarily, at least in Bitcoin, not good when the bear market hits, and all of a sudden not only is your Bitcoin worth less, but your monthly income takes a big hit. And if you're not prepared for that, if your standard of living was a little bit different during the bull market, then you can wreck yourself a little bit.
Yeah, you totally can. And you know, the opportunity cost, it's like, I want to talk to you about this too. It kind of shifts your behavior, because when you're living on fiat, you know, and you want to buy the new Xbox, just as an example, I like to game, right? You want to buy the new Xbox. It costs you $500. When you're living on Bitcoin, you look at that differently, because you're like, ah, that could be $5,000 the next bull cycle. Maybe I don't need that Xbox. Maybe I could just take a walk around the park.
Dude, do you want to hear my pizza moment, my Bitcoin pizza moment?
Please do. I just had mine, by the way. I just had my Bitcoin pizza moment the first time. I had it December of this year. And now, like, looking at where Bitcoin is at right now, it's, dude, it hurts so much. Okay. So sorry to interrupt you. What was your pizza moment?
Okay. So, you know, Fold, like the Fold app, and you get Bitcoin rewards. Well, so I love what they're doing right now, because you're spending fiat and you're earning Bitcoin as rewards points. But that was not always the business model. Previously, in 2014, I believe, they launched as a, hey, you can spend your Bitcoin to instantly convert to, like, you know, Starbucks gift cards, buy your coffee. And it was a really cool idea, because it allowed you to convert to a gift card, and then whatever you didn't use on the gift card, you can convert back to Bitcoin. So you could, like, your Dude. Change. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's so, yeah. That sounds so nice. So wait, yeah. What happened?
So, you know, me having, so I got into Bitcoin kind of early 2014, and then I kind of watched it basically over the next year. I watched it drop by, it's like 80% or something like that. Like, you know, we're coming off the highs all the way down to, well, I think at a low, it was like $150 that bear market. It was a hefty dip from 1200. So in and around when it was like $300 or so, that's when I was looking at it. I was like, oh, Fold, cool. It was mostly like the what would I even say? It was a novelty, right? It was a novelty to be like, you know, you go to scan your phone at Starbucks and they're like, why is your Starbucks app yellow? And I'm like, oh, actually, as a matter of fact, now that you've asked, I am spending Bitcoin. And, you know, I'd get a couple questions here and there. Anyways, me and my wife went to Starbucks in and around like the lows of the bear market, in, like, beginning of 2015. And I think we each got like an expensive coffee and a meal, like, you know, a couple sandwiches, like a brownie, fiat food. It's what we loaded up on. I think it was $30 maybe that we spent. And I'm thinking Canadian dollars right now, so I don't know what it is US. But regardless, I did the math the other day when we're peaking out around 58K, like in the past couple of weeks here. And that was a $10,000 Starbucks meal.
Oh my God, dude. Yeah, man. So, not to those percentage returns. Okay. Cause that's ridiculous, but it's something. And I suspect that I will bring this up to you like 2 years from now and be like, remember that thing that I told you I did, bro? Okay. So yeah. I went skiing, like, or it was like 3 weeks or 3 or 4 weeks ago. I went to Colorado. Rented a house with a couple friends. Dude, I don't have any like other than like my business accounts, which I can't touch because just I don't want to commingle. Dude, I don't have any, like, I have maybe $100 in my normal checking account, right?
Way and, to do it, man.
And when I need to pay for stupid things, which I don't spend very often. You know, I'll just sell it right on the spot and convert to USD and then spend it on like one of those debit cards. Right. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, I didn't have any cash at the time. My friend's like, look, I'll pay for the apartment. I was like, okay, fine. I'll throw down, but I have to pay you in Bitcoin. It was a lot, you know, it was a lot, but now it's five times more. And dude, horrible.
It's funny how quickly that happens. Hey, like you're like, wow, I'll grab. Even like, yeah, you know, last year, there were a couple things where, actually, it wasn't in the past year. It was, again, kind of like the lows of the last bear market. So when it was, you know, it was a few, 3, 4, 5,000 in and around there. There were a couple things that just needed to be dealt with. And I'm looking now being like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Like, how much, although I will say when we hit last March, when everybody freaked the hell out and like every part of every market dumped and we were dropping, like, you know, we went, I remember American HODL tweeting out, it will not go below 8K. And then, and then it went below, and you put like the Vader, Darth Vader meme. They're like, no. and it started dipping. I'm like, holy shit, I've got some dry powder here. And I have over the course of that drop from like, I'd say from about 8 all the way down to the bottom, I have never smashed by so many times within like a week long period as I did then. And holy shit, was that ever a fantastic call,
dude. And it's crazy how that works, because I remember when it hit like kind of the bottom of like 3500, I was calling my mom and I was like asking her for money. I was like, can I borrow? I'll pay you back, please. and then I don't think she lent me money, but dude, I did. I think I maxed out my credit cards. Dude, I did everything humanly possible to try to stack enough, like, because you know, if you've been, this is my fifth year in Bitcoin, you know, dude, when the price is just, it's at that level where you're just like, bro, like, this is so obvious. This is so, like, it's a slam dunk. Like,
2 months prior to the halving, like, you just don't get opportunities like that very often, where it literally, and it bounced back so fast from there. Like, it was a couple of weeks and it was right back up at like 8.
Dude, you know? And it sucked too, because it sucked for like my situation, because like I told you I had to go back to working real estate during the bear market, and I just closed this very big deal, and I was just getting the commission, and I was like, dude, I'm gonna put all of this into Bitcoin. It was a good chunk of change, and man, it went from 3,500 to 7,000 the week of that started happening, dude. And it was just like, oh, please. And then it just started going up. And you know, internally, you're like, look, I've just lost hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of dollars just because I didn't buy a week before, you know. But that's Bitcoin, bro. That's how it is.
Yeah. I mean, in hindsight, it won't matter. Like 5 years out, you'll be like, the difference between 4K and 8K is going to be nothing. People will be like, single digit thousands of dollars for Bitcoin. Are you fucking kidding? Like it's going to sound astounding to people. Absolutely. In 5 years that you could pick up Bitcoin for like $4,000, like last year. It's
incredible, man. And look, so me and you, BTC Sessions, we're in this weird situation. It's not weird. It's just what we do, right? But essentially, we have to cover the news, right? Part of one of your shows, for example, Why Are You Bullish? You kind of have a panel, and then, you know, everyone talks about the current events of like Bitcoin, and I'm kind of forced to, because I have to cover it every day, like Tucker Carlson on Simply Bitcoin. And yeah, man, so it kind of forces you, compared to normal people that are just, you know, even the plebs that are just hanging out and shit posting on Twitter, we have to constantly be on top of the news, right? So I don't want to like, you know, I don't want to like bias you or anything for what I think. So I want to get your outlook on what you think is going to happen to Bitcoin, like in terms of companies buying in, government policy. What's going to happen to Bitcoin, not within the 5 years, what's going to happen within the next 2 years, right? Because I'm getting bombarded with all this information daily. And I'm like, dude, I am so like, I've never been so hopeful about the future. That's all I'm going to hate you with. I've never been so hopeful about the future as I am now, right? So what are your thoughts?
I think it's going to be at least one more time a repeat of exactly what we saw the last run. I think, first of all, I think the run has barely begun, right? I think we're akin to like early spring of 2017. So like really things have not gotten rolling. You've got some, you know, as Bitcoin grows, you kind of have to take the media in context versus last bull run. Like you see the odd story here and there, but like it's reaching a lot more people now. Different types of people are into it. So, you know, we have to think in terms of orders of magnitude of the attention that it's getting. So like, think of how much attention it's getting right now. Imagine how much attention it gets when we're I don't know, 4 or 5 times this price. And massive companies are, you know, you get like Apple and Netflix and Google or Alphabet or whatever buying into this kind of thing as part of their treasury strategy. It will be inescapable. It already kind of is, but people don't truly understand the implications. I don't think they will for years, but my thesis for this year is it's an exact repeat of what we saw in 2017 with different types of buyers. We're going to have corporate FOMO compiled with, you know, a ton of retail FOMO on top of that. The difference is a good portion of the corporate FOMO, you know, the ones that are buying now, they're not going to give a shit as much about short-term fluctuations. If somebody like Michael Saylor, he's not going to liquidate, but there will be companies that buy for stupid reasons that literally don't understand what they're buying, but are just trying to get with the trend. And those ones, you know, companies are run by people and they've got emotions just like the rest of us. You know, with FOMO will also come fear. And I also think there'll be a dump, but the bottom of next bear market will be laughable. Like, I think it was American Hodl the other day was talking about it. He's like, guys, just think this price point right now is like an absolute worst case scenario for the bottom of next bear market. And people will be saying, oh, it is so dead. Bitcoin is gone. In the context of like multi-hundred-thousand-dollar Bitcoin, it'll seem pretty dire, but it's just going to be so funny because the Bitcoiners that have been around the block that have been through at least a cycle, they know what's up because they've seen it all before. And you start looking around being like, God, I saw exactly this 4 years ago. This is the same. It's the same headlines. There was not even new FUD. It's the same shit over and over again. So I think, honestly, as far as the top, I have no friggin' idea. One thing I saw that was interesting, there's a chart of yearly candles. And so far, so is the chart, the yearly candles show three years of it going up and then one red candle. 3 years of it going up and then one red candle. So the green candles for this cycle, we've got the first two and we're working on the third. The first two in percentage terms were triple what last cycle was.
Oh my God, dude.
So, and last cycle, the bull market in 2017, it was like a 17X. So if extrapolated out, if that kind of tripling of the percentage gains, we would be like scraping somewhere between 800 and 900K. Now, I'm not saying for sure it's going to get there, but like if we got to that level, I'd be like, okay, shit, this is probably going to turn around pretty quick. So like, you know,
get out.
Yeah, but yeah, dude, you know, it would be laughable though, because then at that point you go and you're like, okay, how bad would the bear market be? It's not going to be worse than like an 80% pullback like last time, right? So like, you know, 80% of damn near $1 million, you're dropping out at like 100, 150, 200K. Dude. Like, you'd be like, oh no, like dabbing your tears with $100 bills.
Oh my God, dude, but it's so crazy. And you know, I kind of have to censor myself a little bit when I talk to, like, I went to a dinner. I don't go out much anymore because all I like to do is just stay home, play video games, and make YouTube content. But, you know, I went out to dinner, unfortunately, because it was my friend's birthday. And he was like, oh, come out with us and blah, blah, so whatever. And man, and these are all kids my age, you know, 28 to 35, 33, 30, you know. And, and dude, like, I would say all but one, and it was like 12 people, were completely indifferent to Bitcoin. Like, and I was just there, like, just like, you know, holding my own, like, this thing's going to change the world. Like, you guys don't understand, You don't get it. You know, if you knew what I knew, you know, you'd leave the dinner right now, drop everything, sell it all for Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And man, it's just, it's so crazy, but and you know what? And it, unfortunately, and I think that this is like where we come in, BTC Sessions, like as educators, like, unfortunately, you know, the media is just so toxic. Like their reporting is just so horrible. Like it just kind of helps the old system remain in place, you know? Unfortunately, I feel like we're going to see the amount of propaganda, the amount of negative press towards Bitcoin is going to reach such levels that we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. The higher that Bitcoin goes up in market cap, just because it starts to become a threat. You know, right now it's just this cuddly little, you know, like teddy bear on the side, like, oh, cryptocurrencies, you know, but like once it gets to 5 trillion or 10 trillion, you can no longer ignore it as the government, you know? So
well, you're starting to see it now, right? You're seeing the environmental FUD around it a lot. I've noticed that a lot, particularly in the last few weeks here. You know, you see it pop up from time to time, but when the price goes up, then people go nuts. People, if they don't understand Bitcoin and for some reason they haven't been exposed to it, they haven't, you know, they don't own any, they haven't done the reading, they've just kind of like seen the headlines and have like a cursory knowledge of it, they're livid. They're so angry about it. People are looking for an outlet to place their anger. People have been stuck inside, they're locked down, their lives are shit. You look at the economy in general, people are out of work. Some people have lost people. There's been there's civil unrest across the globe. People need something to be angry at, right? If anything bad ever happens to you, you know, people want a place to point their fingers, right? They want something to
funnel. They want the scapegoat.
Yeah, they want the scapegoat. They want to funnel their anger somewhere, right? And I'm not saying that every situation is the individual's fault, but what's the best way to deal with problems in your life? And I've tended to find that if you kind of reflect upon yourself and say, okay, well, you know, what happened here? Was it my fault? How do I fix that? If it wasn't my fault, how do I prevent this from happening to me again, regardless? If you look at it from a problem solving perspective and try to plan for the future, then that actually fixes the problem. But when you don't want to take responsibility, when you don't want to, whether it was your fault or not, when you don't want to take any responsibility or put in the effort to make your life better, it's so much easier to just pick something and get angry at it and point at it and say, you know what? This is why everything sucks, because Bitcoin, because it's boiling the oceans and you know, heating up our ozone layer, and it's gonna, you know, and it's killing babies, guys. It's killing all of the babies.
I think it was a Jordan Peterson that said it the best. It's like, if you don't have responsibility over your life, your default thing is to try to control other people's lives, you know, try to control the world so it's not scary or whatever. But, you know, I think a lot of that is enabled BTC Sessions by this total monopoly on information that, for lack of a better phrase, the powers that be have. You know, it's like, you need to go out of your way to find the truth. Okay. Like, you need to, because if you relied on everything, like all the disclaimers and all the Twitter, you know, pop-ups that says, like, you know, this is fake news or stuff like that. If you followed all of that, man, you'd be screwed. You'd be totally screwed. So do you think that lasts forever? Or do you think we're going through this weird transitionary period where legacy media is like, it's still powerful, but it's dying regardless. And then eventually, Do you get what I'm trying to say? Do you see that connection?
I think it's the resistance to change, right? I don't think it'll always be like this. I think eventually people will understand, but it's the early innings of a monetary revolution, a peaceful monetary revolution. And people are very used to the way things work currently. And there's that system is very actively crumbling. And we are absolutely fucking blessed that this incredible technology came around just in time to start enabling us to exit this inevitable, you know, the iceberg. We're sailing towards the iceberg very quickly here. I'd say it's already gouged open the side of the ship at this point. And so, you know, thank God this lifeboat is there. And the thing about this lifeboat that we have with Bitcoin is there's unlimited room for people to get on board. You know, people are treading water. All they have to do is get on the ship, right? Like there's, it's like a whole other cruise liner up beside the Titanic as it's taking on water. And all you got to do is just grab onto that life raft and just pull yourself up over the hull and you'll be okay. You might not have as comfortable of a seat if you take your time, but you know, once you're on there, you're going to be dry, you're going to be warm, and you're going to be safe. So I think there's going to be resistance. People are afraid of change. It's very much like I saw somebody posted the other day, like a propaganda piece from when cars started to proliferate. And it was like a horse and buggy company being like, you know, saying that your horse's carburetor will never run down. It's like some stupid, like, you know, this can go through mud and all kinds of stuff, and your carburetor will never break down with your trusty horse. And like all, you know, all of these funny things that we look at as ridiculous now, it's the same stuff seeing these articles where it's like, you know, it's costs this much energy just for a single transaction on the Bitcoin network, where anybody that's even paid more than two and a half seconds worth of attention to Bitcoin would know that a single transaction can potentially in the future represent millions of transactions all settling. So again, like, it's just bad information because nobody understands yet, just like nobody understood cars.
it's bad information on top of it's bad information, and it's not helped by you know, how hard it is to find the truth, the good information. And
yeah.
And on top of that, I think that not only are we seeing the disintermediation of money, but coinciding with the disintermediation of money, we're also seeing the disintermediation of information as well. Right.
Yeah.
And yeah,
we're still grappling with the fact that, you know, that we have a global communications network that anybody can access. Right. We're not used to that. It's only been a couple of decades where this is like easily accessible to everybody. And, you know, you still get people that lose their jobs over dumb shit they said on the internet a decade ago, right? Like I don't think that's going to be a phenomenon in, you know, another 10 years, because then you'll have people in very important positions where somebody digs up some stupid thing they tweeted or put on Facebook years ago. And at that point, every person will have gone through like living with the internet since the moment they were born. And everyone will have posted some stupid shit when they're like 17. And at that point, it kind of becomes like, oh, wow, surprise, surprise. Somebody posted something stupid. Like, it happens all of the time. Like, you can't cancel all of society because, you know, I think we're still grappling with that idea. We're still grappling with the idea that not everybody knows everything, and you can't go to a single source as an authority on all subjects, right? Like, and I think I first figured that out when I got into Bitcoin and started really understanding it, and then seeing news stories and being like, oh wow, that was, you know, that was like on a major news network and that was completely wrong. Like, I understand this. I know that was factually incorrect and it ran, and you know, they're not going to rescind that story. Like, they, you know, obviously never would. And when you look at that, you realize, okay, this is just one subject that I know a lot about. How is that reflective? You know, what's it like for other things that I don't know about, that I assume that the newscasters and the mainstream media know about? And so it does kind of make you question your worldview on a lot of things. And I think we're still trying to figure out how to disseminate information and come to our own conclusions about things. Like, you know, how easy is it to be manipulated into believing something when the algorithms catch what you're into and what you want to see, and then you're just fed more and more of it? We don't know how to deal with that yet. It'll take time for us to figure that out, but you know, I think we can do it. I think we're realizing that there's incentives for funneling our opinions one way or another through algorithms and tracking and so on and so forth. How do we escape that? I don't know, getting greater privacy, but I'm an optimist. I think that there will be solutions to this stuff. I think you will be able to kind of like unplug from the matrix and form your own opinions. It's going to take time. And at least if you're semi-aware, you can try to get better information.
I absolutely agree with you. And it's crazy how much these companies or these social media companies have literally taken hostage our dopamine and serotonin receptors. And they're just like, okay, you know, like, feel good, you know. And it's crazy. But I also agree with you, and you said something very interesting, that that, man, Bitcoin, it's not called taking the orange pill for no reason. It literally wakes you up to the truth. It makes you question what you thought was fact, and all of a sudden you have this more clear view of the world versus everybody who's still plugged into the matrix. It's crazy. It's like Bitcoin is the great awakener. It just wakes you up. It makes you question things that for so long, you know, we're just considered fact, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it really hits you when you first get into it and you kind of start reading and you get excited and you're like, okay, I get this. I think it's, but you, in the back of your head, at least for the first little bit, you got this nagging, like, what if you're just an idiot? You know, what if you're just wrong?
I still think I'm an idiot. Like, I'll look at the miners, the dashboard, like my portfolio, and I'm like, how the fuck did I do this? You know, like, I have no clue how I got here. So I still think I'm an idiot. But I know that Bitcoin's the best money in the world, right?
Yeah, like, and you kind of now over time, because like you start at your threshold whenever you enter, you know, there's a certain amount of information out there that you've done a certain amount of reading, you know, you've watched various things and tried to learn as much as you can. And you're kind of onboarded at a certain point and you're like, okay, I have this much information. I've formed an opinion that this is valid. But then inevitably over time, you start to see other people have their aha moments, have that, oh my God. And like, not stupid people, like very smart people having these moments of, oh wow, this is going to change the world. And that's when you're sitting there and you're going, oh, I was right. And it's kind of validating to see people falling down that same path, heading down that same rabbit hole, and you get to watch them have those realizations that you had. You go, I knew it. I knew that I saw something for a reason. And you see somebody as their eyes just glaze over and they're like, oh, holy shit, this is a big deal. And that's when I started feeling really confident, when I saw people that I considered to be very intelligent have some of those sudden realizations, whether talking with me or whether watching somebody else or, you know, listening to a podcast or, you know, just doing their own research and then going, oh, wow, wait. And then starting to question the old way. It does give you a degree of confidence about your path.
It does. And it's also crazy, BTC sessions. I know you do this too, where I constantly check, or at least I did. Now I know I'm right, but for the least,
I'm not wearing it. I usually wear that I told you so sweater, but I'm not wearing it. Anyway, this isn't going to be on video, but I'm so used to, okay. Anyways, getting sidetracked, but yeah, dude, it's crazy because I constantly checked I wanted people to challenge me on Bitcoin. And every single person, and I have a lot of peers that work in traditional finance and the big banks too. And I constantly I've been doing this for years now. I constantly check myself. I'm like, look, what do you think about this article? What do you think about this article? I have not run into a good feasible argument on Bitcoin yet. I have not run into an argument where it's like, oh, Bitcoin can't work because of this. I have not run into one single argument that has even convinced me, because I always double check, you know, and that I'm wrong and they're right. You know, it's always kind of like, oh, it could never work. The government's going to shut it down. It uses too much the FUD talking points that you've heard a million times, but it's never something original. It's never something like, look, this is why it's not going to work. This is no. It's they're getting their talking points from the propaganda, from the mainstream media. They're not getting, they're not original thought. So it's like,
It's like somebody went onto Google and typed, why is Bitcoin bad? Found a bunch of articles from 2014. Were like, cool, I knew it was bad. And then that's it. And that's they're like, okay, I'll paraphrase this a little bit. And good. 2021 article on Bitcoin. 7 years later, got it. I got you guys. That's kind of the caliber of, like, if there was new talking points, if they were like, okay, we found something new, we think that this could be a problem. Even the new FUD this year, where there was the double spend article.
That was, you know, that happens all the time.
I know. Although it's the first like mainstream occurrence I've had of it, where somebody legit was like, they didn't understand what was technically happening. They thought they did. And then they like, it, rather than ask, rather than dig and be like, what does this technically mean? They were like, somebody created Bitcoins out of nothing. It's broken, instant inflation, currency dead. And then like hit print. And then the world was like, oh my God. And then some company, alluding to my point earlier, some company dumped their Bitcoin based on the article. Dude, like,
oh my God.
Yeah. And so like, it's that much more, it instills that much more confidence when all of the FUD, all of the articles you've already seen, and you're constantly having to now go back and refute stuff that you've already refuted for the past 5, 6, 7 years. And there's nothing new. And you're like, is that the best that people have? It's like government ban, inefficient, boil the oceans. They'll change the supply cap. It's not going to happen. It's not going to fucking happen. Like, you know, all of these things, or like, you know, something's going to flip in Bitcoin, or it's all the same trash. It's just like a revolving door and like the same bunch of dudes circling around shouting like flippening, like, boiling the oceans, like whatever dude happens to be coming through the door.
So, and that's where we come in, right? Because we kind of have to step in and essentially be the truth sayers, right? We have to be the thing that checks the powers that be every time the ECB or something tweets on Twitter, the Bitcoiners are just there hammering it home, right? So yeah. That's where we come in. That's our job. But I want to talk about essentially the difficulties of it, man, because, dude, like, we both use different things, right? You have very high production, very high quality cameras, super editing skills. And, you know, we just have really catchy thumbnails. So we both have different methods, but we're all trying to achieve the same thing, essentially, which is trying to take out, like, trying to tell the truth, trying to show everybody that there's a better way to what they're mm-hmm. doing right now. What are some of the difficulties that you've run into? And do you think that's only going to get worse or that's only going to get better?
You know, it's difficult in trying to, you know, every video that you make, every piece of content that you make is going to be viewed by different types of people. It's very difficult to get somebody who's pretty new up to speed on anything that's more than just a cursory overview of a generalized topic. And so, you know, that's very much been a challenge. So what I've tried to do is compartmentalize like beginner stuff and more advanced things. And whenever, I mean, I do a lot of tutorials. So around that kind of stuff, you know, I'll always say, you know, this is advanced. You need X, Y, and Z bits of knowledge. If you don't have that, go back and watch said videos. When it comes to news and refuting stuff, there's just so much history around it. And it's so easy to forget. You'll be talking, like, especially my news videos. When I do a news video, I'll go through a topic and it's just so easy to gloss over, be like, oh yeah, you know, back when SegWit 2x was happening, and like people that have been into Bitcoin for 3 months were like, what do you say? SegWit 2x. I don't even, what's SegWit and why is there two of them? And like, they're like, they don't know the history of Bitcoin. And it's really hard to, we take it for granted that everybody knows everything we've already been through. And most people haven't been through any of that yet. They're going to have to learn their own lessons. And sometimes you just got to be okay with that. Sometimes you got to be like, some people aren't going to get this. I can't give them an entire history of the last 12 years of Bitcoin in every single video that I do. So you just kind of have to be okay with the fact that somebody's going to be like, I don't know what that means. And hopefully some of them ask the question and others will not. And it's the same way as, you know, when you're introducing Bitcoin to somebody, if they don't want to hear about it, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So you kind of gotta, you know, bring it up gently, talk about it casually. If somebody's interested, then offer more information. If they're not, leave it. They'll come to you when they're ready is kind of how I approach it at this point. I used to be like in preacher mode all the time, like just in with my normie friends,
but then they now think you're weird as fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's yo, shut the fuck up, bro.
Yeah. And that, but I did shut the fuck up after a while. I was like, whatever, I'm convicted, I'm good, I'm, you know, I've already gotten a better life because of it. I'm fine with this. If somebody wants to come ask me about it, that's great. It's, you know, you get that now, so you start getting into the bull market and, you know,
yeah,
the normies come a streaming.
Yeah, then you start getting the text like, dude, what's up, man? How are you? But it's you know, American HODL came up genius. He came up with, you know, the saying, have fun staying poor. And that's literally what I think now, you know, and the biggest problem that I have that, you know, essentially preaching is the disinterest, you know, like when you see the disinterest in someone's eyes, you're just like, kind of like, okay, whatever, you know, like, don't worry about it, you know, but it's crazy. Like, man, it's just, do you think it's the case of it's too good to be true, you know, and they're kind of like, yeah, this is too good to be true. So, you know,
Well, we've all had those friends that are like, they're in like some MLM pyramid scheme and they're like, yo, man, you got to try this. You know, I'll bring the product to you. All you got to do is get 20 friends and then they'll get their 20 friends. And then, and you're like, when that like friend of yours from high school that you haven't seen in, you know, 10, 15 years, it messages you and it's like, yo, let's catch up for coffee. And then you sit down and they've got like a binder with them and you're like, oh, fuck, shit. And you know, it's coming. And they're like, so I wanted to talk to you about insert whatever, you know, like Herbalife. And you're like, shit, motherfucker. So, you know, everybody knows that. And they're on guard for it. They know that it's like, oh God, what is this? And so Bitcoin just seems like it's that initially. It's like this cursory thing that sounds too good to be true. That's just because everything else is so horrible, right? And it's actually something good. Like, you know, your life is just like sucking the fruits of your labor away from you. And then something comes along that fixes that. And people are like, no, nothing fixes that. Mm-hmm. Everything just sucks always. So stop trying to give me hope. Don't give me hope.
It's crazy how bad, how deeply entrenched fiat, like how deeply entrenched fiat is in people's psychology. You know, it and you can see it, man. And you could see people's attitude and their moods change when they go, they fully move to a Bitcoin standard, man. When they start saving in Bitcoin, like it's a totally different game. But
fiat brings you a lifetime of depression. Like that's, it's almost designed to do that. It's designed to slowly suck away your desire to grow and improve because it constantly whittles away again, the fruits of your labor, right? You pour all of this time and effort into trying to build a life and gain skills and get a home and build a family. But day after day, you've got to put in more hours. You've got to, you know, and more of, you're putting in more hours and more effort. You're trying to find ways to even just maintain your standard of living. And it becomes increasingly more difficult. And in order to maintain that, you then have to rack up debt. And then you rack up debt, and then it's an even further pressure to not only pay your bills, but pay down that debt, and you're forced to work even more. And so it's just like, it gets worse and worse and worse. And then before you know it, it's like time to retire. You've got nothing to show for it. You barely, like, you're lucky if you own a home, like, you know, if it wasn't for Bitcoin, like my daughter and soon to be son would never own a home. Now I hope I can, you know, I hope that Bitcoin itself provides that opportunity for people to actually, you know, have hope. But it's, you know, fiat is just, it wears you down. And I've never felt as invigorated as I do now because it's actually hopeful. You actually work and then you see the fruits of your labor and then you see the fruits of your labor actually grow in value.
Mm-hmm. That's the point that I said that earlier on in the podcast where, man, I've never been so hopeful for the future because of that. And I keep on imagining a world built on truth, essentially, because that's Bitcoin incentivizes the truth, and a world built on hope versus a world built on depression and lies, because that's exact. And look, maybe that sounds hyperbolic, but that isn't hyperbolic because that's exactly what you get on a fiat standard. Right? Fiat incentivizes lies, you know? So what's that type of, I can't even imagine. Could you imagine what WhatsApp was going to look like in 1995? It was impossible, right? But just to speculate, could you imagine that new world?
Well, I mean, think of, when you really think of the opportunity costs of living on a fiat standard, right? Like, so fiat, our money is meant to be a measure of where people place value, and people take their hard-earned money and they place value on certain things. And over time, that gets diluted because more currency is created and then allocated to whatever the people at the top feel should have value. So it distorts what individuals, like what the aggregate of all however many billion people on the planet want, is being constantly distorted by the people at the very top saying, no, this is what's actually important. So we're going to take what you guys think and that doesn't matter. And we're going to funnel the importance to these sectors. And this is what we want. And what ends up happening is because people have, you know, they normally you would save for the future and you would buy products that last and put your money towards more long-term things, that tends to go away when your money is no longer doing its job and you can't actually properly store your wealth. So you're forced to gamble. You're forced to put money in companies that you don't give a shit about, that you don't actually think like, oh, wow, I believe in this company. It's like, I don't know. I gave a bunch of money to my banker and he put my money in a basket of, I don't know what the fuck, and hopefully I can retire. Instead of being like, I just want to be really good at something. I'm passionate about this one thing. I'm going to make some money. I'm going to save it. And then I'm going to purchase the things that will give me and my family a better life. So think of all of that misallocation of capital where it would have been saved and put towards products and services that are actually worth it to the individual. And think of the cost on innovation, because now all of this capital is funneling into companies that never would have had people invest in them beforehand, right? These companies are creating trinkety bullshit that's meant to be thrown out so that you'll buy the next trinket piece of shit that they pump out. Think of the actual innovation that could have happened when a company is forced to innovate so greatly that someone who's poured their blood, sweat, and tears into making a paycheck goes, man, these guys are doing incredible things and I have to support it. I believe in what they're doing so much that I want to put my hard-earned money into what they're doing to help push that forward. That's incredibly powerful. And when you have a monetary standard that's actually truthful, that isn't being distorted by what people at the top think should happen, and when there's actual consequence for misallocation of capital, imagine we would already have done so much. Like, you know, Musk is going to Mars because he's got fuck you money, right? Like he's got so much fuck you money that he can be that explorer that is like, hey, you know, I'm gonna go to Mars, fuck it, I'm like the richest man on the planet, why wouldn't I do that? I think we need more of that, right? Like I look at just such a lack of unique innovation and exploratory drive from people out there. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna do some like shitty drop shipped product that will be fulfilled by Amazon or whatever. And it, you know, people don't have a lot of innovative genes right now because there's no need for them. I think that vastly changes. Like what would we have done with that incentive structure and sound money that actually measures things accurately and people actually doing things that are innovative? How far could we have gone at this point? And this is something that's echoed by Jeff Booth. He wrote The Price of Tomorrow, and he talks about this misallocation of capital and the natural deflationary nature of technology, and the opportunity cost of that is just so great that we could have done so much by then. We could have been exploring the stars already had we not had that brain suck. And I'm excited for that because that's what Bitcoin's going to bring. I think it's going to bring this age of long-term thinking, but absolute innovation.
I completely freaking agree. And that makes me so bullish on the future. And you know, you're absolutely right, man. You saw it with Boeing, right? Mm-hmm. To the point that, you know, they kind of took some shortcuts on the 737 Max. People died. You saw that in their space program, they got awarded $2 billion more than Elon. but their capsule into space didn't work. They set the clock right, so it couldn't even, you know, dock with the space station, and they didn't even, and their rockets don't even land themselves. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, so you see that, you see with Elon, it's like he's building things to get to Mars to help humanity versus Boeing, where they're just kind of like, yeah, let's buy back the stock. Let's get, you know, it's like that fiat mentality, man. And it's, yeah. And this is rampant across, you know, all the just industries in general, but I completely agree. And, you know, perhaps we sound like crazy people, but I really do think that Bitcoin is our best shot for definitely a better future, for sure. Or like, yeah. Tina says there is no alternative, right? So yeah man, it's super, I'm very hopeful for the future. I know you are too, BTC Sessions, but I don't want to keep you longer. It's already been an hour. So I always end my podcast with speculation, just answer as quick as you can. What do you think the price of Bitcoin is going to be at the end of 2021?
I think we're going to peak before the end of 2021, but I think our peak is going to be just stupid. Easily we'll hit that like stock to flow cross asset model price, which was like 288K. For me, that's like a low end. If I had to guess, I would not be surprised to see, I don't know, $500,000. And given the yearly candles, I would not be surprised to see us top like 800-900K. That would be pretty bullish, and then it would be pretty toppy, but like minimum, I think a few hundred K at least.
Absolutely. I'm completely on board with that speculation. And the more I would say the one that no one is prepared for, what do you think the price of Bitcoin is going to be at the end of 2030?
Oh, 2025 will be mid, you know, if the 4-year cycles continue, mid next bull run. Okay. I'm going to say 2025 will probably multiple millions of dollars per Bitcoin. 2030. Jesus, man. Tens. Like I think that the dollar will no longer be reflective of an actual unit of measurement.
It will be measured to Bitcoin. And it's exactly what you said. People, what you said earlier on the pod, people that are holding Bitcoin no longer are looking at companies as like, oh, I got to save for retirement. They're looking as, do I really want to sell my Bitcoin for that? And it incentivizes the companies to be like, dude, we have to be so awesome that we have to outperform that, you know? Yeah. So, oh, so freaking bullish. Man, sometimes I think we're all crazy, but we're not. But
we sound crazy until somebody listens to this in 2030 and they're like, those guys were both Nostradamus.
I know, right? It's like, oh, they just need to take the orange pill.
Yeah, but it's not magic. It's information asymmetry. That's it.
It's just number go up technology. But man, that was one of my favorite pods. Because this guy, this is who I aspire to be. This is one of the best Bitcoin YouTubers. You can go follow him. I mean, go subscribe to his channel right now. What are you waiting for? It's BTC Sessions. It's geared towards helping you understand Bitcoin, get the latest tutorials on wallets, hardware security, exchanges, and much more, as well as the latest news and industry interviews. And I'm deeply humbled to be invited to a Friday's episode if you guys want to catch that. Well, you guys are going to miss that anyways because I post this 2 weeks later, but you guys could, you know, go catch that episode if you want. But anyways, that was an awesome episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and I'll catch you on the next one.